This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. In our series, Creative Spaces, we're exploring the places where creative people find inspiration. Today, we take a journey with the actress Felicia Rashad. For three decades, Rashad has taken on roles that exude warmth, wit, and wisdom. She's perhaps best known as Claire Huxtable from TV's Cosby Show. More recently, her portrayal of the stony matriarch in A Raisin in the Sun earned her a Tony Award. She's now preparing to return to Broadway this fall in the August Wilson drama Gem of the Ocean. The play, which had a brief run in Los Angeles, is the latest in Wilson's 10-part cycle about African-American life in the 20th century. It's the first play in the series with a female lead. Rashad plays that lead character, Aunt Esther, who's said to be 285 years old. Aunt Esther is a sage and a seer, a powerful spiritual guide who helps former slaves find true freedom.
The people made a kingdom out of nothing. They are the people that didn't make it across the ocean. They sat down right there. They said, let's make a kingdom, let's make a city of bones.
Playing Aunt Esther on stage is a physically and emotionally demanding role. To prepare for the challenge, Felicia Rashad turns to her primary source of inspiration, the great outdoors, her creative space. That's why she wanted to meet us at the New York Botanical Garden in the Bronx, a vast oasis of greenery in the middle of the metropolis.
If you allow yourself to sit in nature, to come and be in a place like this, and you just take the time to look at one single tree, and you realize that as the branches grow up, the roots grow down, and it's all beneath the earth and on top of the earth, nurtured by water and sun, living bare in the elements, changing with time, growing, living long, long time. And when you can sit in a place like this and allow yourself to be present, the mind can become quiet. You don't have to think about all the things that the mind attaches itself to in the course of a day. I'm not running off to do anything. I'm just sitting here.
When you're preparing for a role, when you're getting into character, how important is a space like this to you?
It's very important. Because in being quiet, the mind becomes still. And then when it becomes still and is really directed to the work itself, I can ask questions, because that's how I work. I ask questions.
You ask questions. So when the role of Aunt Esther came to you, you had to ask yourself a series of questions to get to know Aunt Esther?
The writing took me there. There's some plays we say, it's like being a plumber. You got to go all up underneath the sink and take out the pipes and clean them out and look all in the sewer and go digging around in the cesspools and go over there to the water reserve and even go on up to where the rains fall to find what it is you're looking for. But there's some plays in which everything is so present in the language. The language itself takes you there. But I've got to be quiet to really go as far as I need to go. Because if you allow yourself, you'll keep going.
How did you ultimately find her voice, what she would sound like, the pitch of her voice, the gait of her walk? How did you find it, and how did you know when you found it?
If you tried to make it happen, it couldn't. It was something that you grow into because you allow yourself to surrender. And that takes a lot. So it doesn't happen all at once. And then the actors would say things like, oh my God, you're getting that old lady look in your eyes. Oh my goodness, look at your hands, how your hands are doing. Look at how you're using your... She has an energy in her hands that moves her hands. It's so subtle, it's almost unnoticeable. And then her mouth would become slack, a little slack when she talked, because she's not an uptight person. And her voice is in her body. Her voice is very different from mine.
She's sassy, and she's a little bit of a flirt.
She's a lot of a flirt. This is her joy. Aunt Esther is many things. Aunt Esther is what people see, but she's beyond what people see. And she's not trying to explain herself because she doesn't have to. And that's how she is. She's a notorious flirt. Blatant.
It sounds like you find joy in this, too.
Oh, I mean, that's her joy. I mean, she just, her joy is that she can do all these things, you know? She's so many things. When I played this role, I thought, this is the most beautiful woman I've ever been. Oh, yes. And I was telling someone earlier today that occasionally Aunt Esther would pop out when I didn't expect it. So I was asked to do this interview, and I don't remember what the interview was supposed to have been about, but they began to ask me about aging. And the gentleman said, well, what would you tell a young woman about aging? And without thinking, I said, I wouldn't tell her nothing. I'd tell her if she was lucky she lived long enough to get old. And then I grabbed my mouth with some phone and I said, oh no, not now. And I had to laugh at that because I had so much fun being on Esther. I'm thinking, and I had to ask them, what are you all so nervous about? Why are you so nervous about aging? It was amazing. I have so much fun being Aunt Esther.
Does that happen from time to time where Aunt Esther pops out, the least expected moments?
Well, how to say it, is when you get in these sensibilities, your sensibilities change. My sensibilities about growing older changed because of performing this role. I began to feel like if this is what it means, growing older, bring it on. Bring it on. I remember on my 50th birthday, I thought, oh my goodness, if I had known it was going to be like this, I'd have done this years ago. You know, it's come on.
Well,
come on.
You know, that's especially in the world of acting. That is such an important message. Come on in. The water's fine.
Oh, darling, please. Please. This is when you're getting good. This is when your understanding is ripening. And this is when you get saucy and juicy and subtle, and you can play. You can play.
How will she be different when she arrives on Broadway?
I don't know. I would imagine that the experience will be even fuller.
Fuller in what sense?
Well, I'm different than I was a year ago. You know, we're always changing. And life experiences being what they are, and I've had phenomenal experiences, life experiences, within this past year, and I've had tremendous, unending grace.
Unending grace.
Unending grace.
You find that in nature.
I find that in nature. I find that in nature. That's why I love to be in nature, because it's the reminder. This is life. This is creation.
The exercise of theater, though, is so interior. It's, you're on a stage, you're behind closed doors. And when you're in the middle of a run, I imagine that you don't have a lot of time to claim as your own. So if nature is so important to you and to sort of stoking your creative flame, how do you keep in touch with it?
You go out in it. You go out in the early morning hours when it's quiet. And at night before you go to bed, you just take a moment and look at the sky. Just listen. And remember that you're part of this. And it's all one life. And you're very much a part of it.
Felicia Rashad, thank you so much for talking with us. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Felicia Rashad talking with us at the New York Botanical Garden. To hear an extended interview, go to our website, npr.org. We'll be visiting more creative spaces in the months to come.